Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 7, Episode 97. I'm Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com, and sitting in for David Todd once again is Alex Cazora. Alex, the Pirates kick off their 2017 season today in Boston, so I suspect a lot of our listeners, Pittsburgh-based ones mostly, will be following along with that. So happy, I guess, happy start of the Major League Baseball season.
Same to you, Dave. Are you the Pirates' number five starter this year? I think they could use you.
my granddaddy threw my arm out by the time I was 7 years old, throwing all that junk. So my baseball career came. I retired, I think, by the age of eight.
So that's a good age to go out on top.
Yeah. No official stats or anything, but I love playing baseball as a kid. But once I threw my arm out early at an early age, that I was pretty much done. I was stuck playing, second and shortstop and that kind of stuff. Never a big power hitter, so that hurt as well too. Let's see. Not a lot has happened since we last talked, but I think not long after we ended our recording, we asked, where is Carnell Lake and where is Randy Feetner? And needless to say, you ask those type of questions during a podcast, and as soon as you get done recording, you get your answers. And come to find out, Randy Feetner, the Steelers quarterback coach, was indeed at the Texas Tech Pro Day to see one Patrick Mahomes, and a lot of buzz about that since it happened.
Yeah, and I think the bigger buzz was, and we should preface this by saying, I guess it's a bit of an unconfirmed report by a source we usually don't go with, but RosterWatch.com, which does have a pretty big following, says the Steelers have a private workout scheduled with Mahomes sometimes this week. Now, they didn't specify exactly who would be attending. You would assume that Tomlin and or Colbert would be there, considering Feetner was already at the pro day to watch him work out, but that could be a game changer, because I've been of the mindset that if the Steelers are going to draft somebody they view as the heir to Ben, or the potential to be the heir to Ben, you better believe that Tomlin and or Colbert are going to be there to watch them throw at some point of that process. Very hard for me to envision them drafting a quarterback without one of those guys actually watching a quarterback work out. So that's certainly something to monitor.
And this is a kid, and Patrick Mahomes, we've talked about several times, easily top five in this quarterback class, I think. And, I think after you get past Mitch Trubisky and Deshaun Watson, I think it's kind of open for discussion, really, as to who the next quarterback off the board will be. Will it be Deshaun Kizer? Mm-hmm. A lot of people high on Brad Kaya, who, the Steelers were obviously at the Miami Pro Day. And then, wherever you want to fit Patrick Mahomes in there as well, too. We see how quarterbacks, sometimes they're overvalued in drafts, and a lot of people think if Mahomes doesn't go in the first round, he's going to go early in the second round. I suppose there's an outside chance that Mahomes is still on the board when the Steelers pick in the second round, right?
I honestly don't think so, with the way the quarterbacks are valued and so many teams trying to get in on that action, because, there aren't a ton of quarterbacks in this class, and I think Mahomes has maybe the most upside of any quarterback in this class. You may not think he's the best, though. I know many people do think he's the best quarterback this year. He's just got this amazing arm. He'd be a great fit, just kind of baseline stuff for the Steelers offense, kind of a mini Ben, people will compare him to, the guy that can extend the play, keep things going, kind of that gunslinger mentality that gets him in trouble sometimes, but hey, so did Ben. And I think Mahomes had his workout through from, I think, his 25-yard line, and it hit the end zone. So he's just got this rocket arm. And I can see why the Steelers have intrigue. There's no doubt about it. But, You know, I do want to caution again, you know, the Steelers have said this quarterback class, the depth is not good. And Tomlin's talked about going through a dry run. And maybe this is part of that dry run of really getting to know these quarterbacks. And so, you know, you make your own evaluations and then you can kind of compare your own evaluations, you know, next year, 2 years from now to see how well you did and where you got things right and where you got things wrong, kind of your practice exam before drafting a quarterback. So obviously there's interest, and if you think the Steelers are going to take a quarterback, that's all well and good. I have one on my last mock, but to play devil's advocate, you could argue this is a team just trying to take that dry run Tomlin said so they can evaluate their process, see where they're making mistakes. So when they do go draft a franchise quarterback, let's say next year, 2 years from now, they have some knowledge behind them of what they do well and what they don't do well that they can apply to the real thing.
And none of this is new anyway. I mean, what else is Randy Feitner going to do this time of year? I mean, he was spotted last year at several of the pro days, and the Dak Prescott one sticks out to me, you know, the most, and I know that wasn't the only one. So, I mean, why wouldn't you send Randy Feitner to go look at Patrick Mahomes?
Right, yeah. Now, Feitner didn't surprise me. And actually, when I heard it was just Feitner and it wasn't Tomlin and Colbert, I went, well, maybe there's not a strong interest in Mahomes. Because like I said, I think if they're going to draft one of these guys, they got to see him throw in person. So I went, you know, okay, maybe the interest isn't really that, you know, significant. But when the report came out about the private workout, I think that's a game changer. You do perk up your ears a little bit. So we'll see for sure if that's true. We have no reason to doubt it right now. Roster Watch is a pretty reputable site, you know, that wasn't going crazy with the report about it, just saying there was a private workout scheduled. So, you know, that could be the game changer for me.
And we don't know for sure whether or not Randy Feitner was at the Miami Pro Day either to see Brad Kaya, right?
No, but Colbert was there, and that kind of, again, I know that Feitner's the coach, but, you know, if Colbert's there, then, you know, you're watching him throw, that kind of checks that box for me.
Well, what I'm getting at is there's a decent chance Feitner was there at the Miami Pro Day.
Sure. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me one bit. I think, and we'll get into this more maybe a little bit later, I think they are screaming their interest about Brad Kaya, and I would not be surprised in the least if he was a Steelers third-round pick.
Yeah, I think if when you get down past, you know, Trubisky, Watson, Mahomes, Kaiser, you know, you're looking at guys like who? Kaya, Peterman, Dobbs, Webb. I think I have Kaya fifth overall, I think, ahead of Peterman. So it very well could be Kaya in what with one of those two third round picks, or you know, would you expect Kaya to be off the board in round four?
Probably. I think it's going to be a third round pick, and so I think the Steelers could take him with 94 or 105.
Yeah, I agree as well too. And I don't know, you know, a lot of people, there's a lot of people who follow me on Twitter that are hoping Mahomes is the guy. But you know, I think in order to do that, it would have to be the first round pick. And personally, I don't see that happening. Stranger things have happened though. So a little bit of info there. And Carnell Lake, we had just got done talking about him, and he shows up at the West Virginia Pro Day. Probably not surprising due to the proximity to Pittsburgh. And, you know, I think usually, as far as I can remember, the Steelers normally have at least one person there at that Pro Day. But talk about a little bit about Douglas, the cornerback that was there.
Yeah, Rasul Douglas really fits what the Steelers want from a broad standpoint. He's not a hyper athlete, though I think he tests a little better when you turn on the tape than compared to the 40 time he ran, a 4.59 at the combine. But a big long corner. David Todd has talked about he's very confident in the Steelers drafting one of those guys, and there are a ton of them. I mean, the draft, you know, I think is better than average in terms of the big long guys to choose from. But he's 6'2 with 32, I think, and a half inch arms, and he's got great ball skills, great hands. 9 interceptions in the last 2 years, 8 interceptions this past year. Only played 2 years of Division I football. He was a JUCO kid previously. You were Johnny on the spot and had the great cut-ups of all 9 interceptions in his career, and they're impressive. There's not a lot of gimme, you know, just bad throws or, you know, easy interceptions. The guy has great read and react ability. I watched a little bit of tape on him last night. has that length. He was down there at the Senior Bowl, had a really good Thursday practice, two breakups. I remember that very distinctly. So I think Rasul Douglas really checks a lot of boxes, makes a ton of sense for Pittsburgh, again, in that third to fourth round.
Yeah, he would probably be somewhere in the neighborhood of a ranked probably, what, 10th to 15th when you're looking at this year's cornerback class?
Yeah, I don't know exactly where I'd rank him overall. It's such a deep class with so many names, and you got to evaluate slot and outside. But again, I think, you know, I saw Jimmy Fowler say he's a late round pick. That's really not the case. He's going to be, again, I think in that third, fourth round is where Douglas is going to end up.
Would you, from what you've seen out of him, where would you put him in the conversation with, you know, guys like Corn Elder and Cameron Sutton?
Well, I see Douglas on the outside, and I see those other guys in the slot, so I think it's a little different evaluation. But
what about it with a guy like Casey that I think you're high on out of San Diego State?
Well, I mean, I like Casey a lot. I mean, he's kind of one of my draft crushers, so I like Casey more. But and I think Casey could potentially play on the outside for a team that needs it, very much like Tavon Young last year. But in Pittsburgh, I'd be kicking Casey inside. Douglas would be a guy that would compete with Cockrell at the left cornerback spot and either win the job, or if he has to sit or split time or who knows what happens there, I think that's okay because you're going to probably take a third or fourth round pick on it. It's not going to cost you a second round pick. So that's, you know, I think you can bite the bullet on waiting on Douglas a bit. Plus, you know, he has only played 2 years of Division I football. It's probably a lot for him to learn. I like Douglas a good bit. You know, I know there's some people have concerns about long speed and stiffness and stuff like that. And I get he's not the most physical player from what I've seen early on, which I feel like every one of these 6 foot plus corners just can't tackle to save their lives. It's super frustrating. I just think from not just from my perspective, but just thinking about what the Steelers, like what they've said in the past, the reason why they drafted Golson, the reason why they drafted Gerard Holloman, because they had great interception numbers. They could make plays in the football. That kind of fits, I think, what Douglas does with what the Steelers want.
Yeah, I didn't know as much about Douglas as I hoped to prior to that report of Carnell Lake being at that pro day. But, of course, since then I compiled all those interceptions. I wish I would have spent a little bit of extra time and dug into his past breakups and all the way I did with who did I post? Garon Conley as well out of Ohio State. So I plan on going back and looking a little bit more at Douglas. But his interceptions, you know, for what it's worth, were impressive, as you stated. And yeah, I mean, I could see him as a third, fourth round guy, a guy that fits out, you know, outside more than anything else with him. Now, obviously, we're going to spend a lot of time. We have dissected this edge class, I think, to
yeah.
death, and I think people are probably a little bit ready for us to move on to another position. And I think cornerback position is a perfect position to go to, being as how I think most of us expect the Steelers to draft another corner within the first three, four rounds. I think on the safe side, you know, we running backs, another position we've been talking about as well. Let's start at kind of at the top of the at the cornerback class, and a guy that I'm currently, you know, compiling pass breakups and interceptions during his career, and a guy that you know, a lot of people have the top of this year's class, Marshawn Lattimore out of Ohio State. You know, what studying have you done on him, and is he one of the top, you know, two or three corners in this class?
Honestly, Dave, I haven't spent a lot of time on the top guys in this class. Conley, I haven't seen a lot on. I watched your cut up. I haven't really seen much on Lattimore just because I don't expect either one of those guys to fall. So I just feel like, you know, I mean, I watched some Vernon Hargraves last year, but I was like, well, this guy's not going to Pittsburgh, so I'm not going to spend too much time. But have you seen much on Lattimore so far?
Well,
or Conley?
Yeah, well, with Lattimore, too, you're talking about a young kid here, right? You know, a kid that really, when you look at 2015, didn't do much of anything. You know, you've got really 1 year of production, you know, to go with Lattimore. And like I said, I just went through and actually compiled all of his interceptions. And what were there, four interceptions, I think, last year. Now, he had multiple pass breakups, six, eight, 9, I think, pass breakups last year. So it's not going to be a lengthy highlight cut-up video, but, I mean, from going through already and watching each of the plays, you know, it was impressive. Now, I haven't watched his play against the run and those kind of things, but, you know, a kid with one-year production, there's a lot of projection to be done there.
What is he, a redshirt sophomore or junior? Do you know? He's an underclassman for sure.
Yeah, he's an underclassman for sure. And what was he? I want to say he was a redshirt sophomore, I thought.
Yeah, so super young guy. Well, I mean, you know, Steelers took Artie Burns. He didn't have a whole lot of time under his belt.
Right, and that was, you know, that was one of the things that was a bit surprising when it came to Burns was his rawness. You know, the fact that Artie during the offseason was busy running track, you know,
right.
and didn't spend a lot of time on his football or as much as other players on the team would have done. So, you know, you can kind of throw it out of the, you know, he was an odd situation, I thought, when it came to the Steelers in the first round draft pick. Now, of course, he had all the measurables. But even so, he was still kind of a projection player in my eyes, right?
Oh yeah, no, he broke all the rules. I mean, they threw a brick through the window last year. Colbert did by cornerback guys they didn't pre-draft visit with, you know, age, experience, starting experience. So yeah, no, I'm not saying that they wouldn't draft a guy because he's an underclassman. In some ways, they like to draft underclassmen, like to draft guys that are a year or two younger, so they can have them potentially longer if this guy's going to play 10 years for him. So it's not a knock against, but it was reinforcing the point that this is a guy that's young and is still trying to hone his craft.
He was redshirted in 2014 and played just 84 snaps in 2015 thanks to injuries before taking over as a starter in 2016. And he played almost exclusively at right cornerback, according to PFF. A little bit, you know, they have some comparisons to a little bit to a little grabby like Eli Apple. Was there. So, but, you know, regardless, I'm with you. I think this is a guy, in my eyes, I don't think Steeler fans have to worry about, because I think he's going to be off the board by the time the 30th overall pick rolls around. Tease Tabor, man, you want to talk about a guy that consistently up there at the top of the class throughout the off season, but the further we get along in this thing, yeah, I think it's mostly to his underwear Olympics type performance. You know, just a miserable. I watched his pro day which was what, last week, and just miserable. And you know, you just wouldn't think a guy that runs 4.7 or higher in his case at his pro day. And what was his combine? 4.6 2. Yeah. Man, that you better know what you're getting into there, right?
Yeah, I think I had a Twitter reader tweet at me last week after Tabor ran and said, I think the worst 40 time by like any Pro Bowl corner was Brandon Browner at 4.64, and I'd have to check that because I don't know what Josh Norman ran, but you know, you're very borderline on that success level. I've seen Tabor because I feel like I've watched every Florida game the last 2 years because I've watched so many of these Gators in the last 5 days, and he's got good tape. I think he's an instinctual guy. He's got ball skills. He looked like a pretty good tackler from what I saw. I wasn't focusing on him. I was watching other guys, but you know, Tabor would come up. So it's a big bummer though when you see that 4.7 40. And I don't know how you run slower at your pro day than the combine. I'd like to know the answer to that one.
Then, you know, next guy, I think on a lot of, and Tabor, look, I think he's a physical guy. And I'm going to have to dig a little bit deeper on him. He's going to be one of those ones that I put in this highlight collection here as we go on the next 3 weeks or so. Tre'Davious White out of LSU. Mike Tomlin normally doesn't miss an LSU pro day.
Was he at the league meetings though when LSU happened, or what was the date on that?
I'm trying to remember exactly, but I don't remember writing about that or reading about that. And I mean, what's your overarching thoughts on White?
I really like Trey White. I think he can play on the outside. I think he can play in the slot. He's got great feet. He's a physical guy with good ball skills. You know, I don't know how great the hands are. And Bill Belichick is able to break up ball skills and hands. Ball skills is being able to locate the football, play the pocket, break up passes. Hands is being able to actually finish the play. But no, I really like Trey White. You know, he's a guy that obviously playing Power 5 conference, SEC competition. You're playing against, you know, the Alabamas of the world. He's not really getting much talk, I think, at all, just in the draft, and especially in Pittsburgh. But I think it's a guy that's maybe flying under the radar and has good value.
Yeah, plays the ball well from what I've seen. Multiple pass breakups, I think, last year, and I think he had two interceptions as well. A guy that's, as we like to say, long, but maybe not ideally long, right? I mean, 5'11 or so, but, I mean, it has some nice girth to him, I think. I mean, he looks the part.
Yeah, I'm just looking up. I think LSU's pro day is April 5th, looks like.
Well, maybe
so
that's why we haven't written about that. I thought it was earlier.
Yeah, it's tough to keep track. There's 8 million of these things. And they changed the schedule this year.
They have changed a lot of them.
Yeah, and it just felt like everything was scrunched together with the league meetings and pro days and the combine. Like, it's all just – I mean, Tomlin was choking the other day on Steelers.com. He's lived out of a suitcase, you know, the last month, because it's just been nonstop. So it is tough to keep up with, but we do have a pro day tracker at SteelersDepot.com, which we update and try to get, you know, all the information we can find, we tabulate there.
Could this be a dark horse guy right here, or just a guy that nobody's associating with the Steelers that – you know, quite possible. Let me ask you this. Does he check the boxes when it comes to Steelers cornerbacks with the measurables and all? I mean, I know you usually like to put something like that up this time of year.
Yeah, and I was asked about that, and I do have that in the process. I'm waiting for pro days to finish up. You know, obviously LSU hasn't even happened yet, so I'm going to get to that. I think he's generally in that range. I can't say for sure because I don't have any of the data in front of me and figuring out trends and all that. But I'll answer it that much. I've definitely had the thought in my head of, could this be a dark horse, like the one guy that no one talks about that ends up being in play? That's not impossible, but let's see if they're at LSU's pro day. If they are, it's a better chance. If they aren't, you know what I said last time about Colbert Tomlin having to be there to watch you work out if you're going to be a first-round pick. So April 5th is going to be the big day for him.
Let's see. White at the combine, 5'11 and a quarter, 192 pounds, 32 1/8-inch arms, 4.47 40. I think that fits in that profile that you normally do. A decent decent 10-yard split, 16 reps on the bench. The only thing I think that might be going against him, 32-inch vertical, not fantastic. 4.32, I think, short shuttle, but fairly decent three cone and 6.90. So I think he's going to be on the board there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I play him in the slot. You want a guy that's going to do really well in man coverage in the slot. Trey White's your guy. Tom's talking about needing to play better man coverage. I think White, as a slot guy, you know, you're not going to get much better than that, I don't think, in this draft class.
Yeah, I think where I sit with him right now, and probably why a lot of people are not linking him as a possible first-round guy to the Steelers is – there's just a lot of these guys down, you know, you talk about Lawson and a few more of these guys, you know, that they're probably within a 32 pick span there, you know, of where they're going to come off the board. It's just, are these type of guys that circle back around, or are these guys that are truly, you know, top 40 or top 50 guys? I think Lawson is a top 50 guy. I just don't know if he's a top 30 guy. I think Tre'Davious White is a top 50 guy. I just don't. I just don't know. Well, let me ask you this, and we're going to talk about Cam Sutton here. You know, would be a perfect time to do it. Where would you rank, you know, White and Cam Sutton?
I like White better than Sutton. I think he's a more physical guy, a little bit bigger, I think, a little better length. I mean, it's kind of minor, I believe, but I just think he, you know, is a little bit bigger, a little bit longer overall, and just more physical, too. I mean, they both have great feet. They can both play the football in the air. But if you're going to play that slot spot, I do want someone that is a pretty physical guy who can blitz and a guy that can support the run, kind of take on a little bit of that strong safety mold. And I like White more than Sutton in that regard.
Hey, Alex, the mortgage process sometimes can be more challenging than spelling Roethlisberger or figuring out whether or not the Steelers are going to take a quarterback early this year. Let Craig Oxaint guide you through this sometimes daunting mortgage process to help you score the home of your dreams. Even in Texas Tech, where's Texas Tech at? if you're considering buying or refinancing a home now or in the future, please give our sponsor Craig Oxaint a call. He's an experienced, nationally recognized lender that can help you achieve the dream of home ownership. Call Craig today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. Or you can email Craig at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. First Advantage Mortgage Company. NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. Boy, you got a lot of guys just kind of bunched up in here in this. I mean, it's a good year to need a cornerback, I'll tell you that. Sidney Jones, you know, with the Achilles injury and all. I mean, Sidney Jones is a guy that I think most everybody had in the first round. I mean, he's going to fall now. It's just a matter of how far he falls and how soon you think you can get him back. And, you know, is he worth a guy that you can sit on for a year?
Yeah, and it all depends on what you're doing in front of that. I've talked about that before, the same with Jake Budd or the UCLA corner, Morrow, that got hurt. I don't think he's going to miss the whole season. But, you know, if you've drafted guys ahead that you feel like are year one, day one impact guys, then maybe you can take that quote-unquote luxury pick of waiting. But if you haven't, if you like feel like you've taken a guy that might not get on the field right away or for whatever reason, let's say you take a hypothetically Patrick Mahomes in the first round. Well, I wouldn't advise taking Sidney Jones in the second or the third, because now you've taken two guys that aren't going to help you win now when, as you said before, the Steelers have to be in that win now mentality. So, you know, it's impossible to answer the question of should they take a Sidney Jones or a Jake Butt or a whoever, because I think it's all going to depend on what's happening, you know, those two picks ahead.
Jordan Lewis is a guy that you were really high on prior to his off-the-field discretion. Where are you now with Jordan Lewis?
I mean, from what, you know, the people in the know say that he's really fallen down draft boards. The teams want to stay away, at the very least, until this domestic abuse allegation or charge is cleared up. So it sounds like he's a late-round guy right now, and I'm looking at other slot options.
One of those, you know, I don't know, maybe Cordrea Tankersley is a guy that I've seen him all over the place. I've seen him late first round. I've seen him sometimes fall way down deep, you know, into the second round. A guy that, you know, I think we've talked about previously, if you're really wanting to go more man-to-man as opposed to zone, you know, Tankersley could be a guy. Long, can make plays on the ball, probably not the most physical guy out there, but, you know, the Steelers are going to make a move to more man press. He would fit and, you know, potentially maybe at the bottom of the first round, right?
Absolutely, Dave. I agree with every single thing you said about Tankersley. If you want to know of a dark horse that no one's really talking about right now, because April 3rd last year, no one was talking about Artie Burns to Pittsburgh. It wasn't until really maybe a week before the draft, a couple days before the draft, people started mentioning it. Tankersley is your guy. And when you talk about the injury to Jones and Morrow, it's going to just naturally push up a guy like Tankersley, who, like you said, is over 6 foot, has great length, can thrive and does his best work in press man, with, you know, that athletic profile of Rasul Douglas Duran in the high 4.5s. Tankersley's a 4.4 guy, so you see a difference there, with great length, is able to play the pocket with really good ball skills. You know, that's a sleeper for pick 30 for Pittsburgh. So don't forget about Cordrea Tankersley.
I think I saw a stat on him, had 7 coverage penalties in 2016.
I believe it. He plays very aggressive, and I said that's something he has to clean up and learn how to play clean in the NFL, which a lot of corners, you know, have to work on, because they're so used to just being able to feel the receiver by putting their hand on him. But he's got a lot of talent.
He's a guy too that you know, obviously Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin were at that pro day, and mm-hmm. you know, they like those kids that come out of those big, you know, Power Five conferences there. So maybe this is a guy, you know. Maybe White and Tankersley are two guys that, you know, could potentially be the guy.
Yeah, I'm not so sure on White yet. Obviously, we'll again want to see what happens at the pro day. But I think Tankersley, from what Tomlin said, first thing he said about what the Steelers have to improve on was we got to be better man to man, and Tankersley would be that guy. And although he's not a very good tackler, he's a very much a wrap up, drag down type of guy. If you look at the other tall, long corners in this class, a Quincy Wilson, a Keller Witherspoon, even Rasul Douglas, they might be worse. So Tankersley actually doesn't look too bad by comparison. So, and again, being at his pro day, Power Five, I forget what the starting experience is. 30 career starts, that's pretty good. Four interceptions last year. Played on special teams, military academy. He's got that background going for him. I mean, he really hits a lot of things Steelers are going to be looking for.
Where do you fit Conley in at?
Again, Conley, I haven't seen a ton. I expect him to go top 15, top 20. If he falls, then there certainly could be interest because he's Ohio State, because he's that another long corner that can play press man. I don't have a great comparison right now for either or. Do you have one? Have you seen enough out of Tankersley to make an evaluation?
No, I mean, I haven't. I'm now getting deeper into the cornerback class myself, and that's why I'm going through and compiling all these videos as I do it. I tell you, Conley can make some plays on the football. Now he had a gift or two interception there, I think. In if people have seen the compilation that I put up in there, but I mean, he had a lot of nice pass breakups as well too. I think he breaks on the ball nicely. He obviously can play up on the line and play off there. It's really hard to differentiate, in my opinion, that much between Lattimore and Conley. Maybe Conley's a little less physical, I would say. Marlon Humphrey's another guy.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned him.
Right,
It's a
and
good.
then, I mean, this is another guy. I mean, there are like eight corners here that, I think I've seen most of them go in the first round at some point.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Humphrey. I feel like Humphrey's name rarely gets brought up in this process, and the guy I honestly just have not watched. But and Colbert was there at Alabama's pro day. I'm guessing that was more to see the edge guys. Let me throw this piece of trivia at you, Dave. You probably know it because you know everything. But who was the last Alabama draft pick by the Steelers?
I know it's been a while ago.
Long time.
I mean, it's been a long time ago. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Deshaie Townsend.
Okay.
I think it was a 98, I want to say. I'm going to check that right now. Yep, 98, fourth round. So never in the Colbert era has an Alabama player been drafted. Very bizarre.
You get into talking about these Alabama defensive players, and inevitably you get into talking, well, was their production just because the overall talent on those defenses year in,
All right.
year out, it was one a byproduct of the other one. And I mean, at some point, we're not going to be able to say that the Steelers have shied away from drafting an Alabama player. I mean, Humphrey's one of those guys you expect to go in the first 50 picks, right?
Yeah, for sure. Again, I don't have a great gauge of where Humphrey's going to end up. Another young kid, a redshirt sophomore. A lot of tape up there on draft breakdown for him. Colbert was there at the pro day, so I guess you can kind of look at that and say maybe we'll see. I think he's got to come in for a pre-draft visit. A redshirt sophomore. This is a guy that would not be on the Steelers' radar. Tomlin, Colbert have no idea about him. Scouts are trying to play catch up for an underclassman like him because they're just not paying attention because they don't know if he was going to come out or not. So. I think if you're going to end up, taking a guy like Humphrey, you got to bring him in for a visit.
Quincy Wilson is another interesting name as of late. Seemed to be getting a lot of buzz.
Yeah. Again, we keep profiling the same type of guy because, that's what Tomlin has talked about. And you can kind of feel that transition of wanting guys that are 6 foot plus with at least 32-inch arms that can play press man, and Wilson certainly can. He's a great athlete. So he's a bigger frame, a bigger guy than let's say Tankersley. That can again play press man, that has good ball skills, is all kind of the same profile. But I think Wilson's an even worse tackler than Tankersley, which really shocked me because he's a bigger guy overall, a bigger frame. So that's kind of the risk reward. Again, I know it sounds like a broken record, but you can really put people like Tankersley and Wilson and Witherspoon all kind of in the same category.
Why don't we see Kevin King ranked higher in some of these rankings?
Well, I like Kevin King a lot, and again, I think he's a decent tackler, especially when you compare it to the other guys that I mentioned. I think he's going to be able to be physical. I think he's an ideal guy for Pittsburgh. I've said he's an Artie Burns clone, but the big reason why I'm not talking about him more anymore, at least, is the Steelers wore out his pro day. No Tomlin, no Colbert. There wasn't any report of a coach being there. I'm sure there was a scout. I'm sure somebody was there, but I didn't hear anything about Carnell Lake being there. Maybe he was, and we just didn't hear about it. That's possible. But very little, seemingly little interest in Kevin King, which I'm not really under. I don't really understand because I think he fits that mold as that big long corner. That's great in coverage. He's super fluid. I mean, he ran the 4.4s. He's 6'3" plus. He's got a great turn. Who I think is better against the run and a better tackler than people think overall. So. I don't know why the interest is low, but he makes a lot of sense for me.
I tell you what stuck out when I was going through Pro Football Focus and their draft guy is they don't even have him listed in the in the top 26.
Yeah, top 26 like players overall. Oh,
Corners.
corners. Oh my goodness. Wow.
That has to, you would think that has to be an oversight, right?
Is this a magazine or online? I forget
No,
what these
this is
all
this is
they're online.
PFF's recent draft guide.
Man, that's wow. I don't know. I couldn't tell you what's going on there, but I think he's a first round talent.
Mean that's it'll be interesting to see. Now this is only their first version. I think PFF's going to have like three versions of this by the time over the next couple of weeks here. But I found that quite confusing
Yeah.
when it comes to a guy like Kevin King. What about the other king, Desmond King? I'm going to be writing a little bit about him later on today. This is a guy that over a year ago, prior to the kids announcing whether or not they were going to declare or not, Desmond King was a guy that a lot of people had going first round. And now here we are, a season later. A lot of people think he's better fit to play safety. He thinks he can play outside and inside corner. He obviously has some return capabilities to him as well. But I mean, this is not a first round guy, right?
Yeah, no longer a first round guy, just isn't athletic enough the way he's going to test in time. I think he ran in the 4.5s to be that first round type. But there's a couple of things that separate Desmond King from other guys. One is a high level of production. I forget what the interception totals are. You might have him, but he's picked off a lot of passes, has great ball skills. He was a running back in high school. I think he had school records as a running back. Rushing yards, and so when he's in the open field as a returner or interception return, he has that great field ability to finish plays. I think he has three career pick sixes in his career, so he's got that natural feel when the ball's in his hands, being able to be that playmaker. He's strong against the run, one of the better run defense corners in this class. A guy that is physical, that has some decent size, that can take anybody down. He's going to challenge any type of running back. So I like Desmond King a good bit. I think you can play him in the slot. I think he does a pretty good job of his change of direction, a pretty fluid guy. Even if the long speed is not elite, and it isn't, you could potentially also play him at safety as well if a team had that need for it. So I'd like to mock Desmond King to Pittsburgh in the second round. I've definitely thought about that, but. Again, at Iowa's Pro Day, didn't feel like anybody was there to watch Desmond King work out. No Tallman, Colbert. Again, I didn't hear about Carnell Lake being there. Very, very quiet on the Steelers front for the Iowa Pro Day.
I'm he is a guy that I could see maybe in the second round. I like I'm probably a little bit higher than on debt. Now I know Desmond King didn't have the production last year as he did in 2015. But I mean he definitely during his career at Iowa made a lot of plays.
Yeah, no, I think we're pretty equal, probably. I think we like him a good bit for each of us. I just wish the Steelers showed some interest in him. I'm trying to get that mindset now to who the Steelers actually might be interested in because we're not that far away from the draft. We're getting closer to the end of the pro day circuit. We're able to start putting some pieces together. We know about some of the workouts. We know about some of the pre-draft visits. So I'm trying to get that mindset of okay, these are the players the Steelers are legitimately interested in. And if they want that big, long outside corner, then King's obviously not that guy. So that's why I've talked up Tankersley and Wilson and studied these guys pretty hard because there is a good chance that's what they end up going for at some point in the draft.
He is talking about Desmond King, a guy that the Steelers apparently met with at the combine. That's not overly surprising. It will be interesting to see because, look, I mean, even though we would think that that if he's going to be a second-round guy, he would at least be brought in for a pre-draft visit. And I will be surprised if that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it does because I think he's a guy that could really be a slot corner, maybe start earlier than you know what most slot corners are going to do because he's a pretty experienced guy. He's thinking he has a good football IQ. That's a playmaker, and he kind of hits a lot of things the Steelers look for. But I do worry about him just athletically because, you know, if you had to be a little vague and a little broad about it, he is generally an average athlete.
All right, another guy you were high on right from the get-go, Woozy out of Colorado.
Yeah, it's still one of my draft crushes. I know I haven't talked about him in a while, but, I mean, this guy that can play inside, can play outside. I probably like him more on the outside in the NFL because he isn't super twitchy, but super physical, high-energy guy. I mean, he'll just jump. He literally jumped on a receiver's back one play and took him down. He's got ball skills. I mean, I really, really like Owuzie.
Dory Jackson is another guy that's been linked to the Steelers off and on in some mock drafts for the last several months out of USC.
Yeah, I like Jackson a lot. I mean, Steelers haven't shown really a whole lot of interest in him, so it's hard to make that leap and say, yeah, he's going to be a Steeler, but it's that guy that could play in the slot that has better starting experience than I think people give him credit for. He's a hyper-athlete, was a track guy, one of the fastest players in college football, obviously ran well at the combine. You know, I don't see the rawness in his game that other people do. He's a willing tackler, you know, and it's decent. It's not great, but I think it's good enough. Someone that can play in the slot and also obviously has a return background, you know, and he's been a gadget guy on offense. So maybe Tomlin will consider, that in year two with Jackson. So, you know, they just, again, USC guys, they seem to stay away from, you don't want to put too much stock into it, but I think Troy was the last USC guy they drafted. So take that for what it's worth.
Where are you now that you've gotten a little bit deeper in this cornerback class as to where Corn Elder comes in at?
Well, probably about where we started. I mean, he's not going to be a day two guy. He's going to be a fourth, fifth round pick, but he's another super physical guy that plays with his hair on fire on special teams, very much like what Curtis Brown did years ago and Tomlin praised him for. He's not going to be a guy that's going to flourish in man coverage. I saw him at the Senior Bowl, and he did struggle in that regard, but I think a really solid slot, you know, zone-ish corner. Question is that what the Steelers are looking for? You know, it's debatable, but to play devil's advocate to that, you are talking about a fourth, fifth round pick, not a first or second round pick. So you're going to have more deficiencies and you're going to have to be able to live with some issues in the guy's game. But I wouldn't be mad about Corn Elder at all. Obviously a U product, high energy guy, big hitter, plays bigger than his size. Can play in the slot with a good football IQ ability to close. That's why I like Cornell. That's why I like Owuzie. Owuzie has the athletic profile, and he has a high football IQ, being able to understand where routes are going to break, anticipating where the ball is going to go, and being able to jump routes and be a playmaker that way with his eyes.
All right. Have we missed anybody kind of in this top 15?
We hit on most of these guys, I think. I'm looking down the list right now. I mean, I think that's about everybody. Witherspoon, you know, is going to be – some people think he's going to be day two because he's got length. He's got elite ball skills, being able to find the football. He just can't tackle to save his life. I mean, there's so many guys that fit that profile. It gets frustrating to, one, to be repetitive, and two, just to see guys with all the athletic talent in the world that just can't show any interest in the run support, being a force defender or tackling in general. So Witherspoon could be in play. Later rounds, Marquez White from Florida State, Power 5 guy. With length, he can be a press guy. You know, those are some later on guys to keep in mind.
Let's assume the Steelers show up at the LSU Pro Day, Colbert and Tomlin. Would you think that the two most likely guys to be on the board that could be the 30th overall pick when it comes to cornerbacks would then be White and Tankersley?
I'm still not convinced on White. I mean, I know we're working on the assumption that they are there. I think Tankersley would be the lead guy right now. I don't know who would be second. I couldn't tell you for sure. It might be White. I have to maybe think about it. But I think it's going to be Tankersley or an edge guy, something like that. I don't know if the second best corner is going to vault over, you know, Tankersley and the many edge guys they can choose from.
Well, you'll be surprised if it's not a corner or an edge, right?
Yeah, I mean that's obviously, you know, again, looking back at what Tomlin's comments were, you know, the first two things he said about what the team has to improve on is we got to be a better man-to-man coverage team, and we got to find ways to get pressure on the quarterback with a four-man rush. Well, that tells you let's get a big long corner and let's get an edge, you know, outside linebacker. He doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out those words and parse Tomlin's comments. But you know, if you do want to go outside of that realm, I have mentioned Obi Mellon Fonwu before. Who they are bringing in for a pre-draft visit that obviously I would be excited about and could see a lot of value in. So don't discount him. You still can't completely discount a quarterback. I won't say that. And although I know interest hasn't been super high in him, they were at Florida's Pro Day. I really like Jared Davis, and that would not shock me either. So outside linebacker and cornerback, I've looked at Mellon Fonwu, really Mahomes at quarterback, and who was the last one I just mentioned? Jared Davis. So those are the three guys I'm thinking about.
All right, you wrote up Jared Davis for this morning. Why is he a first round option?
He's the next Lawrence Timmons. That's the reason why he's a first round option. This is a guy that can pretty much do everything. He's a great athlete. I think he can be that three down guy that, admittedly, as much as I'm high on him, Vince Williams really can't be. You know, Davis is a guy that has the tape showing he can carry the Y or the number three down the seam on 3rd and 10 and can locate the football, break up the pass, and get his defense off the field. Great sideline to sideline range. Has length, a strong punch, very heavy hands. A little lacking in upper body strength. He can get washed against the run a little bit, but you know everyone's going to have some of their flaws. Has lined up even on outside linebacker occasionally, so you see a lot of Timmons comparisons there. A decent amount of starting experience, good production. Did battle through injuries, but he's played through injuries. He's a tough guy. He's a warrior. He wants to go out there for his team. Just really impressive tape overall.
Where would you rank him along with guys like Zach Cunningham and I think Reuben Foster is the other guy when you talk about off the ball linebackers?
Yeah, Foster's cream of the crop, so he's going to be below that. I haven't watched Cunningham yet at a Vanderbilt yet, but Davis is going to be a tough guy for me to beat outside of Reuben Foster.
So you're convinced he's first round talent then?
Yeah, I think he's first round talent all day, for not just Pittsburgh, but just anybody. And, you know, Pittsburgh wants to take him because if they sit there and say, you know, we don't know who this hybrid guy is going to be, or we don't want to play this hybrid scheme, or whatever the reason is, and we want to find someone that we know can be that three down guy. Davis would be that player. If they do want to go the hybrid route and say, we got a lot of these, you know, we want to evolve with the way defenses are going. We have five different guys we're interested in who could fit that mold, a Mellon Fonwu, a Harvey Clemens, Maguire Jr., whoever, doesn't really matter. Then, you know, that'd be a good reason to stay away from Davis. But, yeah, I just think, you know, obviously we can't lose sight of get talent in the first round. That's what Steelers have done really well, mostly, is just find talent, find guys that can make it to that second contract. Davis is a guy for me that I'm very confident it's going to make it to a second contract.
And there's always the axis of where it crosses, where it comes to need too, and you can make an argument that that spot next to Ryan Shazier is up there somehow in need.
Yeah, if the right player comes along and, you know, Dante Hightower, because I think they're comfortable with Vince Williams. I'm comfortable with Vince Williams. You, dear Steelers Depot listener, should be comfortable with Vince Williams. But if the right player comes along, like a Dante Hightower, who was in their mind the right player, that elite kind of talent, it changes the equation because no, Vince Williams is not that elite talent. There's no doubt about that. And I'm the biggest Vince Williams fan you're going to find. But, and so Davis is a guy that has that, I think, really rare talent that could change the conversation. I'm not saying it's likely. I think it's still obviously the very minority odds of this happening is. We'll see if he comes in for a pre-draft visit. There hasn't been a whole lot linking the Steelers to Jared Davis, but they were at his pro day. Davis killed his pro day, ran like a 4.58, jumped 38.5 inches, 10.9 in the broad. I'm sure he caught their attention, and rightfully so.
There's a little part of me still that still thinks a tight end could be in play
You're
here.
not gonna let that go, are you, Dave? You can hold on to that hope.
And you know, just because of the sheer fact that, man, if a guy like Njoku, you know, somehow managed to be on the board there, man, really, really. I mean, look, we expect OJ Howard to be gone, and I think most listening to this podcast expect Njoku to be gone too, but. You know, what if a guy like Njoku was there?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like I said, you know, I just had my spiel about getting talent. Guys are going to make it to the second contract and be, you know, big money guys that second time around. I feel like, you know, the chances of them going on offense is just low because of all Tomlin's talked about. And if they are going to go offense, it's going to be like a quarterback, someone they think can be the future face of the franchise.
Well, we know it's not going to be an offensive lineman, all right? We know it's not going to be a running back. I think we know it's not going to be a quarterback.
I don't know.
I would be shocked if it's a wide receiver, personally. I mean,
Agreed.
Ty, I would think if they went offense on, in the first round, I would think it might be tight end. But once
Okay,
again,
so let me ask you this. I think I know the answer because you kind of just said it, but what is more likely for them to go on offense, quarterback or tight end?
personally, I think tight end.
If you're putting on your Colbert cap, though, what do you think Colbert does? Is it the same answer?
I think tight end. I mean,
I think it's quarterback.
I assuming it's one of those two guys. I mean,
Oh,
Howard,
right.
Howard and Njoku, you know.
Right, and let's really say Njoku, because I don't think Howard really has any chance.
Right,
I know possibly, but
right.
I think it's quarterback over tight end, to be
Man,
honest.
I'm just trying to imagine what the reaction would be if it's a quarterback. I
Well, do
mean,
you think it's gonna be, is it gonna be bad? I think it'll be mixed.
I think it'll be mixed. I'm trying to imagine it, how mixed it would be. I mean, there's a lot of people that for the last 5 years are saying the window's closing, the window's closing. You got to get Ben's heir apparent and all like this. I mean, man, I just maybe it's my own bias that's in play here, obviously, but and that and the fact that I, just this class overall just doesn't impress me as a whole. I mean, I understand it's top heavy, yada yada, but I mean, put it to you this way: if the Steelers were going into this absolutely needing a quarterback, I'd be fearful.
Yeah, no, I hear you. No, I think the reaction will be mixed because one, people will just like quarterback because they're fun to talk about. Everyone wants to think about the next Ben, and it ends that conversation. But I think people will just understand from that perspective. But you and I will be upset about it because of what we've talked about before. If it was quarterback, is Mahomes the only guy that you would entertain? Would you, if Deshaun Watson or Kaiser was there, or even a Davis Webb? I mean, anyone there interest you?
Yeah, I think I like Webb, but I don't think he's a guy that you take first round,
Right.
So I think if you're talking about guys you could justify going in that first round, it'd be Mahomes.
So not, what about Watson Kaiser? Any
Yeah,
thoughts
yeah,
there?
yeah.
Hypothetically.
I'm just not. I worry about Watson, just his overall game. I mean, I think he was surrounded by great talent, but and obviously, I've read all the stuff that Sean's put out on the site and all, and I haven't, it's not like I'm tracking deep throws or
All
you
right.
know that kind of stuff when it comes to quarterback. When it comes to a quarterback these days in the Steelers, I obviously you like those guys that can throw the football down the field.
That'll fit the Steelers offense. Well, hey Dave, let's before we forget, let's get to the Craig talk to
Yeah,
our buddy Craig
absolutely.
here.
Hey, Steelers Nation, mortgage rates are currently at near all-time lows. If you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase, or purchase a vacation home or refinance, contact our buddy Craig Oxane from First Advantage Mortgage. A lifelong Steelers fan and Pittsburgh native, Craig is a nationally recognized lender that would love the opportunity to help out terrible podcast listeners. You can call Craig Oxane today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. You can email Craig at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. Company NMLS 2551 NMLS 320399 Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee Equal Housing Lender. All right, we have beat up on this quarterback class pretty good now. We beat up on the edge.
Hey, Dave. One of us will have to write this up. Ray Fittipaldi just pre-draft visitors coming in out of the blue. No idea these guys were coming in. Let me read the names off to you. Josh Dobbs, quarterback. Wide receiver Kenny Galladay. Wide receiver Josh Reynolds and quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Two quarterbacks on that list.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'll get somebody excited. Well, y'all, I guess with that, it's a perfect time to kind of cut this show a little bit short today. I think we've gone about 50 minutes already today. So we'll pick up, we'll decide what group we want to go to next here and start hitting that on Friday. I doubt there's going to be a Wednesday show just because lack of things to kind of talk about here, in these final few weeks before the draft takes place here. So with that, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow my co-host David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Follow Alex Cazora at Alex_Cazora. You can email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate to the show, please go to SteelersDepot.com. Find that donate button in the upright navigational bar. And with that, as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.